Welcome to the Food Fix, where we talk with innovators who are figuring out how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Petulano Ali. French fries, hash browns, and crispy chips come to mind when we think about potatoes. Potatoes are the most widely consumed crops in the United States and are the world's fourth largest food crop after maize, wheat, and rice. Potatoes grow on almost every continent. They adapt well to climate and are a good source of potassium, vitamin C, and carbohydrates. Their greatest enemy are soil-borne diseases, and currently, those diseases are controlled by fumigating the soil with chemicals. That's expensive, both economically and environmentally, and it kills beneficial organisms. Luke Steer, a doctoral student in the Department of Plant, Soil, and Microbial Sciences at Michigan State University, says potatoes have chosen him. Why? He talks to Ali Hussein about his research of molecular techniques and how it could reduce fumigation and improve the production of potatoes.
Thank you very much for your time and welcome to the Food Fix.
Thank you for having me.
Why did you choose potatoes?
I'd like to say that potatoes chose me, have a background in microbiology and molecular biology. And after I graduated from undergrad, just kind of fell into MSU Extension. And then from there, turned into a great research project that I've done my PhD on. So potatoes chose me, I guess, because you don't really choose potatoes.
Tell us a little bit about your research on potatoes.
In a nutshell, my research tries to combat soil-borne diseases of potatoes. With potatoes, it's a crop where you have to be especially careful of soil-borne diseases because all your money at the end of the season comes from the ground. So whatever's in that soil, pest-wise, has a huge effect on your tubers. So we're looking at different ways to combat these pathogens and also different ways to predict where disease may occur based on pathogen levels. They're a great source of vitamin C and potassium, and they're fat-free. In America, we focus on healthy alternatives, so there's that aspect, but they're also good for you in a balanced diet as well. A fat-free, high-potassium carbohydrate is a good staple in any diet. The work we do is important for our state because Michigan grows quite a few potatoes, but nationwide and worldwide too, because some of the problems we have here occur all throughout the world.
What are the different pathogens and diseases that attack potatoes?
We have a little joke inside the potato world that potatoes love to die. They're susceptible to not only soil-borne diseases, but a plethora of foliar diseases as well. So diseases that occur on the plant above the ground, which is important for getting nutrition into the plant. So you have to keep the top of the plant and the bottom of the plant alive. The soil-borne diseases that I focus on primarily would be potato common scab, which is caused by bacteria, and then verticillium wilt, which is caused by a fungus.
What are the methods which are being used to protect potatoes?
Historically, I'd say the last 50 years probably, after World War II, soil fumigation has been the method of control for soil-borne diseases. And what that is a gas is put directly into the soil. And what it does is it kills everything it comes in contact with. So whether that's a bug or a worm or a microbe, which is what we're looking at, it just nukes everything in the soil. As regulations changed and the EPA became more concerned, these chemicals are quite toxic, obviously, to have this ability to kill off all these different things. So there's environmental concerns now, and most of these soil fumigants have very restricted use. So in hopes of helping the environment, we've really limited our potato growers as far as what they can do to help control or manage soil-borne diseases. And that's where my work comes in, looking at alternative methods for soil fumigation or for soil-borne pest management, but also looking at levels of inoculum and seeing, okay, maybe we can't get rid of fumigation completely, but if we cut it back and only did it in the spots where we need it based on sampling and statistics, you know, that would be a good step forward as far as environmental safety is concerned, cutting back our use.
What do you propose and how does it will help improve the potato production?
What my project is primarily about is using different sampling techniques and different methods of spatial analysis to take small amounts of sample points, use a statistical algorithm, and interpolate that for the entire field. Because sampling is expensive. The more you do, the more it costs, which we're not trying to drive up cost for growers in all this. But using tools like ArcGIS and geostatistics, we're able to make predictions predictions on where we think diseases may occur in the field without sampling that prior to planting. So what we're doing is that we're going in, we're looking at new sample methods, trying different statistical interpolation methods, and then seeing what happens based on what we're doing with these statistics. So the best way to put it is we're trying to develop a tool, another tool in the toolbox that growers can use to help decrease their fumigant use or fungicide use and increase productivity. Because anytime we don't nuke that soil, we're probably preserving some of the beneficials that also lie in that soil. The soil is a living, breathing organism. So those fumigants can't discern what's good and what's bad. So a lot of the times when you go after a pathogen, you end up killing the beneficial microbes as well. So we're looking at some of that and trying to decipher what fumigants are doing to that beneficial soil microbial community.
I was kind of interested to know more about your research, like how valid the results are.
This is a question we get often, and without going into the gory details of the statistics, you just use points that you have sampled, and based on the distance from your unknown point to points you've sampled, you're able to get an output with a prediction for what that may be. And like with all statistics, there's an error term. So we rely a lot on that error term, you know, and then we go out and validate it. We make predictions, and then we try to go out and see whether our predictions are correct. Nothing's perfect, obviously, because there's so many extra factors beyond what we're sampling for can change pretty quickly from point to point, but we're starting to get a better grasp of the spatial variability of some of our fields, you know, just within a field, how much spatial variability there is, but then temporal as well. Time changes a lot of things, whether it's the temperature or the moisture or the humidity or what's actively growing in that soil. So a lot of things change before you plant potatoes, for example, compared to 100 days into potato. Your soil environment is going to be much different based on that crop.
Where do you do your field work?
A lot of our field work is done on farm with potato growers throughout the state of Michigan. They're the ones who make this work possible. They not only allow us to use their land, but the Michigan Potato Industry Commission is very active in funding research at MSU. So a lot of our trials are done on farm, large scale with commercial growers. But we also do newer, more experimental stuff at several different MSU-owned research sites, Montcalm County and then Clarksville Research Center over in between Lansing and Grand Rapids. Those are kind of the big research stations we use for potato pathology.
What are the most surprising findings that you have?
When we went into this project, all the chatter in the potato world seemed to be the problem with our soils is we don't have enough diversity in our microorganisms. What we've actually come to find out is it's not so much total diversity of your microorganisms that matter. It's what makes up that diversity. It makes sense also because each plant, whether it's potato or beet or corn or carrot, they all have different microbial environments that make them grow best. And they change from crop to crop. So it's not so much how much stuff is there, it's what stuff is there and what the quantity of that stuff is. I think that's the easiest way to describe it is, so instead of just having a million different things, it might be better to have 500,000 of one thing and 500,000 of another, if that's what's best for the potato to grow. Not only grow, but defend itself from those soil-borne pathogens.
What are the implications of your research in improving agriculture and food security in developing countries?
Starting at the scale of Michigan, which is where most of this is based, and working up to the global scale, like I said before, the problems we have here are not specific to Michigan. They're nationwide and worldwide problems. Potatoes all over the world are affected by soil-borne diseases. That's just the nature of the crop. So if we're able to develop tools for potato growers that help them reduce inputs, whether that's fungicides, fumigants, insecticides, or even fertilizer, that helps growers stick around. That helps them improve their crop, increase their profit, and give the consumer an overall better crop. Nationwide, it kind of changes the thought process on maybe how we grow potatoes. Potatoes have always been thought of as a high input crop, and I don't see that necessarily changing overall. There's a lot of inputs that go into growing a good potato crop, but maybe changing what we put in based on what we're seeing from some of these conventional treatments and how they affect the soil ecology, and maybe substituting in a more biological product like a biofumigant or a biofungicide. Things like that may help sustain our soil so that we can continue to grow potatoes for the next 50 years as the global population increases. And, you know, there are other countries that grow their own potatoes and things like that. But the U.S. exports a lot of potatoes to other countries as well. So if we can increase our ability to export potatoes because we're able to grow more than we need as a country, that allows other people who may not have the ability to do these things we're recommending, maybe they can rely more on importing potatoes. But the things we're doing long-term worldwide, there are simple fixes in some of this, I think. Just, you know, changing inputs, whether it's in Michigan or in India or, you know, wherever they grow potatoes, just stepping back and reassessing what you've done and trying to come at it with a fresh idea or a new way to sustain how things are grown. That thought process is, I think, what's going to help potato growers worldwide in the future. So just changing how you think about what you're doing to the soil and trying to preserve it.
What are the next steps in your research?
I hope to continue this type of work wherever I end up next. This is work that needs to be continued, not only in potatoes, but in all crops. And the nice thing is we've developed a system that can easily be used in other cropping systems. One thing that crops have in common is they grow in the soil. No matter what it is, they're grown in soil. So using what we know from potatoes and methods and techniques we've developed from working with potatoes, we've made it so that we can easily transfer these to other commodity groups, which I think would be interesting to go in and do all this in another commodity group and see how those crops compare to potato, but then, you know, how they're different and compare microbial environments all throughout, because the soil is the most important thing to preserve as far as continuing to grow crops on a commercial level and feeding people who need to be fed. So there's lots of work to be done if you're a soil pathologist, luckily.
Thank you very much, Luke. It was very nice having you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Luke Steer is a doctoral student in the Department of Plant, Soil, and Microbial Sciences at Michigan State University, and he has been talking there to Ali Hussein, a reporter for The Food Fix. Thank you for listening. Have you an idea that can improve the production of potatoes? Email us with questions and comments at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. The Food Fix is produced by the Translational Scholars Program at Michigan State University. Our theme music is the song Watching My Garden Grow by two of our favorite Michigan artists, Lindsay Liu and Josh Rilko. Funding for the podcast is provided by the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. I'm Petulano Ali. Have a great day.